This audio program is presented by Audible.com. Audible. Audio that speaks to you wherever you are.
Simon & Schuster Audio is proud to present Spock vs. Q, an Alien Voices production, starring Leonard Nimoy and John DeLancey.
Humans are so emotional. As former science officer of the Starship Enterprise, special ambassador to the Federation, and retired citizen of planet Vulcan, I offer greetings. I have been studying some of your more prominent newspapers. The subject matter is not exactly fascinating. I would venture to conclude from reading these papers that the favorite topics in this order are sex, political scandal, sex, and sports. The favorite playing cards are the race card, the gender card, and the phone card. The favorite advertisements offer hair restoration, psychic email, and weight loss without exercise. Highly illogical. This is mere distraction. I know you humans to be curious about more than just pampering your inner child. Certainly Copernicus and Galileo had interests beyond getting in touch with themselves. Buried deep on page 36 of this newspaper is the mention of something that is fascinating. The recovery from Mediterranean waters of a Phoenician ship, the oldest deep-sea wreck ever found. These were the master seafarers of antiquity who dared to boldly go where no one had gone before. Thank you for the help. They were truly enterprising voyagers. And so are you, voyagers. Just as the Phoenicians. I ask you, suppose you were to find out that something truly catastrophic were going to happen to you soon, in the near future, in the very near future. Would you rush out to buy a book on crystals or pyramid power? No, of course not. Why? Because you have the ability to do something much more effective. You have the desire and the brain power. You would not simply wait around idling while imminent danger, grave, dark danger, calamity, possibly even catastrophe, would...
Naughty, naughty, naughty. You know you're not supposed to tell.
I beg your pardon.
We haven't even met, and you're begging my pardon. That's delightful. So accommodating, so Spockian.
You appear to know me. However, I do not believe we've met. I'm quite sure I would remember.
Q here. I've waited all my life to meet you. Oh, well, I mean, that's something of an exaggeration, a few decades anyway.
I believe the correct human response would be to say, charmed.
Everyone says that.
However, I am not charmed.
I was just thinking, what would he be like in person? Would he be gruff and pedantic, or urbane and glib?
Sir, allow me to inform you that I'm occupied in a matter of some urgency here, and you are interrupting.
Gruff and pedantic, my first choice. I know I'm interrupting, and you'll thank me for it later. My, look at this, a microphone. How quaint. Can you all hear me? I'm from the Continuum. And I'm just dying, dying to meet the legendary Spock. Can I have an autograph?
Autographs have proven to be of great value. Not just informationally, but associatively, throwing light on the original intentions and methods of the author.
Your point?
Recognition of the importance of autographs dates back to the earliest known example. A scroll signed by El Cid, dated 1096. Now, of course, the practice of collecting such signatures is widespread.
Look, I just want your autograph, Spock. I mean, what are you desperately trying to say?
There's a sizable demand. You'll have to join the end of the line.
It's so good to meet someone with ego strength. Believe it or not, they're going to want my autograph, too. Not every day a non-human signs his name, kind of like getting your dog Sparky to write a thank you note.
As I said, my errand here is a matter of some urgency. Therefore, I feel I must ask you to do whatever it is you've come here to do at some other, more appropriate time.
Could.
Would you?
Should.
Will you?
Can.
I see.
Not in good conscience. You know, you have a tendency, at least tonight, to, how shall I put this, monopolize the stage.
Do you have a point?
Ouch. Who felt that? Look, here, just scribble something fascinating on this. I love autographs. My collection is extensive. It goes back to, I can't even remember.
To whom shall I make this out, Q or Mr. Q?
Just Q. My full name is 2 light years long. I'd love to pronounce it for you, but explaining cold fusion would be easier. Now, if you don't mind, I'll hang around just so... Well, I mean, you know, just you go ahead. Why don't you just give your speech? Act like I'm not here.
That would be impossible.
I'll be quiet. I'll be good. Mum's the word. All quiet on the Western Front. Take a key and lock it up. Zip the lip.
In a popular phrase of the era, yada, yada, yada. You say you'll be cooperative, but you are far too large to ignore.
Oh, well, thank you for that. Oh, my.
Can you not make out my handwriting?
It's a little like mine, indecipherable. Let's see. To Q from Spock, not exactly what I call heartfelt.
In the future, try a Hallmark. Now, as I was about to say...
What?
You're still here.
Well, you want me to go? Is that what you're saying? Up and leave, just like that? I mean, that would be, what, the height of rudeness. And just when we were getting to know one another, why, we have barely rubbed noses. Swapped favorite recipes, clinked glasses, sung Sweet Low, Sweet Chariot. Chewed the fat, scratched the surface, raised the curtain, crossed the Rubicon, tested the waters, kicked off, teed off.
But there is something poignant in early leave-taking. As the Viscount Morley John put it, the great business of life is to be, to do without, and to depart.
Yes, but...
Or Shakespeare. Parting is such sweet sorrow.
Yeah, but I...
Or Pope. True friendship's laws are by this rule expressed. Welcome the coming. Speed the parting guest.
That does it. I'm definitely staying. I've got gobs of time. Anyway, I've looked forward to a divertissement with the famous Spock. You know, I've heard that you're not a half-bad chess player.
I doubt you would have the requisite qualities for the game. Chess requires logic and discipline.
Hello. We're on planet Earth. No one would play the game here if those rules applied.
What must it be like being you?
Would you really like to know?
Oh.
It's swell. Being Q's just swell. It's clearer than a bell, faster than pell-mell. Greater runs than hell, no need to undersell. It's swell.
Oh, please hold nothing back. Tell us what you really feel.
It's grand. Being Q's just grand. A shiny one-man band, permanently tanned. Even in strange lands, I've got the upper hand. It's grand.
Most enlightening.
It's great. Being Q's just great. I never rise to bait. I don't believe in fate. No one calls me late. I'm tough to underrate. I'm great.
Modesty, then, is not a virtue in the continuum.
Let me ask you something, Spock. Do Vulcans ever lighten up? Do you ever have fun?
At regular intervals.
Really? Regular intervals. Fancy that. What kind of fun? And I don't mean chess and checkers. I mean, what gives you a good belly laugh? I'd love to know. They would love to know.
Vulcans think of laughing as a somewhat wasteful facial contortion that requires a great deal of misplaced energy. A belly laugh would be out of the question.
I ask you again, where are the laughs, bro?
Oh, we have laughter in abundance. Our brand of laughing is on the inside.
Oh, how deeply Zen of you.
Something akin to that.
Hey, what did the Zen master say to the hot dog vendor?
I cannot imagine.
One with everything.
Amusing, amusing, yeah. But now that we've apparently enjoyed a joke together, do you suppose I might return to a weightier topic? The subject which brought me here tonight is really rather pressing. Their time is limited...
Be careful, my humorless friend.
I am a very careful person, unlike some.
You know that newspaper stuff that you were going on about? It's a drag. They'd rather hear jokes. Really, they would. All your ooga booga about science, capital S, and what it can do for you. You expect them to take after Copernicus and Galileo, whom I press the flesh with, by the way? Boy, I mean, those guys give new meaning to the word grim. Let me tell you something, Spock. In the 17th century, they could have used a chuckle or two.
They could have used a bar of soap.
What'd you say?
Oh, never mind. Never mind.
Come on, I dare you. Make a cosmic joke. Try.
Very well. The universe is very gassy.
That's it? Gassy?
I have come here today with a higher purpose in mind.
You know, you sound like a dyspeptic Zeus angry at the little folk down the mountain. I mean, who are you to pass judgment on their attraction to sleaze and scandal? You have to admit, it makes for great stand-up and sells oodles of magazines. If you really want to grab their attention, I mean, why not hurl a few thunderbolts in their direction, demonstrate some genuine anger? Though, frankly, I still think the old marump-ump goes down a lot better.
And you think that telling jokes is a good way for humans to deal with their problems, even imminent catastrophe?
And why not? What do you want them to do, put on lab coats and plastic pocket protectors?
If you mean, do I expect them to be curious and to seek answers, yes, I do. How different the world would be if an ancient Egyptian had not imagined that papyrus would make the first paper. Or if Columbus had not sought a route to India. Or if Madame Curie had not invented radium. Or if Fleming had not discovered penicillin. Or Einstein had never written his general theory of relativity. Humans cannot afford to be apathetic. They cannot wait any longer.
Why? Why can't they just be in the moment, take a nice stroll in the mall, or watch a disaster flick while strapping on a feed bag of buttered popcorn?
Do you know Archimedes?
Know him? I was with him the day he invented the screw.
It has never actually been confirmed that he invented the screw. The design of the rotary pump, often used in Egypt for irrigation, has been attributed to him. He might have invented it, but there's no definitive proof.
Oh, don't be so literal. What about Archimedes?
Recently, a 13th century manuscript turned up at an auction house in New York. It appeared to be a commonplace manuscript describing religious rites and ceremonies in Byzantium.
Really? I'm all ears. Beg your pardon.
Scientific experts subjected the document to ultraviolet radiation. And do you know what they discovered?
I'm breathless with anticipation.
A 10th century text and diagrams. The only and oldest copy of Archimedes' mathematical principle on floating bodies.
Imagine that.
It is the only remnant we have which shows how Archimedes arrived at his mathematical proofs. Step by step, you see. We would not have this opportunity but for enterprising humans who harnessed the power of ultraviolet rays and were curious enough to study this priceless historical document. Curiosity yields greater dividends than jokes.
Tell that to Seinfeld.
Well, now we are wasting precious time. Time these good people could better spend...
Let's not go there. I know a lot more about time than you do, my friend.
Please. Enlighten us.
All right. For the sake of argument, these creatures, they're relatively bright given their limitations, but let's be honest.
That would be a novelty.
They're not much smarter than your average zebra. Oh, I mean, when the lion appears, their hearts thump, their adrenaline flows, their breath gets faster, their eyes scan the horizon for an escape route, and their long legs help them scamper off into the brush.
And what is the point of this Serengeti metaphor?
The lion is the point, Spock.
The lion.
To warn the zebra about the lion, that's what you've come to tell them.
You may have a body of knowledge at your fingertips, Q, but you are no mind reader. That is a Vulcan ability. Within limits, of course.
I wouldn't boast about your flashy tricks. What's the Federation up to anyway, sending you down here to violate the Prime Directive?
Oh, you will not lecture me on the Prime Directive. You cannot possibly understand its ramifications.
But the Federation did send you here.
I have on occasion served as their representative to various worlds.
Give it a rest, Spock. You're here to interfere. That's the one reason you're here, to interfere.
That is not the case.
Is to?
Not.
Is.
May I suggest that you go pester some other civilization?
I came here to meet you, get your autograph, have some fun. And what happens? I get insulted. You stand before me, you intergalactic do-gooder, swathed in the cloak of science, haughty and cold, on the brink of violating the Prime Directive, your solemn oath. To tell you the truth, I came to interfere with you, interfering with them. And I'm treated like what? Used chewing tobacco. Like a Dead Sea slug, like yesterday's scrambled eggs. I mean, I've got to tell you something. You have wounded me deeply.
I see no evidence of a wound.
Emotionally, Spock. The heart, the quick, the marrow. Do you understand that?
This conversation is reminiscent of those I've had with Dr. McCoy. As a phenomenon, emotionalism is highly overrated. Dr. McCoy indulged in it frequently and zealously. In fact, he once told me he got down on the ground and rolled around in it. But then, of course, he is human.
Is that supposed to make me feel better?
I withdraw the request.
Just go and pester some other civilization.
I said I withdraw the request.
All right. I accept.
I would not wish two planets to be so afflicted in a single evening.
That does it. I mean, why not just come right out with it? I mean, tell them why they're here, and don't give them any of this. I just happen to be in the neighborhood.
Well, there is a certain amount of truth in that.
Vulcans never lie, do they?
We have been known to omit some details on occasion. Infrequently.
But deliberately.
Yes.
You and the Enterprise weren't thrown back in time accidentally, were you?
No.
Ha! So it has to be that lopsided donut thing.
Ah. The Guardian of Forever. Do you know it?
Been there, done that, got the T-shirt. Look, I know the Federation doesn't let anyone just pop through on a little time ride, a little sightseeing jaunt, so to speak.
That is also true.
So?
I was expostulating on efforts the entire race of mankind could undertake.
I'll pull the other leg.
I'm here to remind them that the polar ice caps are melting.
Oh, imagine that. And how will the polar bears fix their martinis?
That there's a hole in the ozone layer that they can fix.
Bosh.
They can.
This should be priceless. How? Needle and thread?
That they can trade in their sports utility vehicle for a car only one-third as polluting. Or by driving an EV1, which uses no fossil fuels whatsoever.
You want them to trade their SUVs for an EV1?
Not a moment to spare.
They've just finished dinner.
You fail to understand the gravity of what I'm saying.
I don't fail anything. I'm a straight-A super being, thank you very much.
What a tragedy that all your super knowledge is not put to better advantage.
You know what you are? You're a spoiled sport.
Are you suggesting that we are at play here?
Yes, I am. Tossing each other a few choice words.
Oh, choice words. I see. Well, in that case, you are a fathead.
Fathead? Fathead?
You are a nincompoop, lackwit, useless dunce.
You, sir, are a dusty, crumbling fossil.
Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me.
Yeah, well, how about mountebank, trickster, charlatan?
You are describing yourself.
You are tricking them into thinking that they can help themselves.
They can.
What do you mean they can't even figure out how to program their VCRs?
Anything is possible if the desire to attain it is present.
Yeah, well, fat lot of good desire is going to do them when they're all burnt toast.
Which is not to say they cannot still do something.
Right. Before they're toast?
While there's still time.
Actually, toast is too whole. They're going to be atomized.
How insensitive.
Blown out of the sky.
How crass.
Smithereen City, stardust, the last run of the Grunion.
How boorish.
Because an asteroid the size of Montana is heading this way. So there.
Yes. Well, thank you for that.
You're welcome. Wait a minute, what are you thanking me for?
By breaking the news to them, you have provided an invaluable service.
What?
You have made it possible for me to avoid violating the Prime Directive.
You manipulated me.
Nicely put, and I suggest your bedside manner lacks compassion.
Look, there are two ways to talk to a terminal patient. One, you're going to be fine. Everything will work out. You'll see. My, you look better today. Two,
you're going to kick the bucket. So there.
Wonderful. This clearing of the air gets things off the chest, even when it's not your chest.
Quite true. Clearing the air can be refreshing.
Yes, well, fine for you to say that, Mr. Smug and Clever. You've just made me a criminal of the Federation.
Oh, not at all, no. As part of the continuum, you are not subject to Federation law, and thus you are free to alter history.
Oh. Now, hold on, Spock. I mean, you're not hoping to do this again, are you? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Sir, I simply speak fact. You have extraordinary powers, remarkable gifts, stupendous talents.
All too true.
What is that line from your song, so smart and funny and apt? Something about a one-man band.
A shiny one-man band. It's a marvelous line, isn't it?
And the rest, even in strange lands?
Yes, I've got the upper hand. It's grand.
Yes, it must be grand to have the upper hand. So, what do you plan to do about it?
It? What do you mean, like a recording contract?
It. The asteroid.
Oh, that. Nothing.
Nothing?
Nah. Fish gotta swim, asteroids gotta fly.
But all that ability of yours to do anything you want?
Well, that's just it. I don't want to squander it.
But surely you have an infinite supply, you being a super being.
Well, I mean, I could do something. It's just that I don't feel like it.
And why is that?
Super beings have moods, you know.
Many, in my estimation.
Hey, look, you caught me at a bad time, okay? The energy's not right.
Well, that is a great shame. This is rather a pleasant planet.
Yeah, well, there are trillions of rather pleasant planets.
Is it not of some concern to you that Earth, home to the assembled audience, is about to be vaporized?
Not really. Look, you said yourself, I am not subject to Federation law. I can do what I want. No rules, no regulations, okay?
Well, I would not dream of inflicting such structure on your existence. Only...
Only what?
It is curious that someone who often dons human form, who collects human autographs and mingles on this planet, does not wish to lift a finger to help fellow humans.
There's a great beach on a little planet in the Dwingolo galaxy. Maybe I'll just zip over there. Wouldn't be so gassy either.
Goodbye, then. We shall all miss you. And may I say you are as fascinating as described?
Who? Who said I was fascinating?
I believe astounding and captivating were the exact adjectives.
Who said that? Did they say that?
Yes, they did indeed. There were other words, many words. You made quite an impression.
Oh, well, I know that, but I mean, it is nice to hear. Did they say anything else?
Tall.
Oh, well.
Powerful.
Oh, really?
And, of course, clever.
Oh, well, good to know that they picked up on my many fine qualities.
It would be difficult not to. You are, to say the least, unique.
Well, yes.
A being who can move about in time, who can move mountains.
Moving mountains? Well, kindergarten trick.
Admirable. Will you help them with the asteroid?
I've already told you.
Then I will assume you are not concerned about their opinion of you. How do you think it makes them feel?
A peanut sat on a railway track. Its heart was all in a flutter. Along came the midnight railway express. Bango, peanut butter.
There was another adjective they used in reference to you. Often, in fact, you might say the conversation was peppered with it.
Oh?
Stubborn. Oh, yes. And they said never to approach you as one might approach an adult, for you would respond as a child.
Really? Those little gutter snipes?
Of course, I disagreed. I disagreed.
You did? You did?
Certainly. I said you would only behave that way as a lark, that you would respond to a serious challenge with great alacrity and spirit, that you would never choose, say, a beach vacation over saving a planet.
You know, look, it's not that I wouldn't like to help. I would, honestly.
Excellent.
But I really, 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 really feel...
Yeah?
...that it's their fate. You know, I mean, you get to go up in a puff of smoke. You're barely going to feel anything, just a little popping in the ear, and then poof, you know, fricasseed earth. There, you see, I do care about them.
It is very gratifying to hear you say so, but... Do not let us keep you from your sojourn to Dwingaloo.
I don't like your tone. It's not my fault about the big A. Why do I have to skulk off?
In keeping with your earlier metaphor, a good physician knows that after he delivers the bad news, he must respect the patient enough to leave him to his own thoughts. So, Bon voyage.
Oh, wait, man. I just remembered something. I remember everything, you know, but then when I climb into this human cranial cavity, not much bigger than an ostrich's, I mean, some thoughts are tough to access.
Like the dawn of the internet?
Cute, Spock, but no. What I keep forgetting to tell them is this. Dig into those nachos early because it's Armageddon tonight. Touchdown is in a few hours. Thought you'd want to know.
I understand completely.
Yeah, I'm glad. You understand what?
Destroying the asteroid inconveniences you. It puts a dent in your leisure time. It is simply not in your game plan.
That's right. I don't see the sport in it.
Ah, sport. What if... No.
Go ahead.
What if we were to engage in a sport?
Well, what's in it for moi?
What would you like?
Teach me that mind meld trick.
You are unable to do that. Pity. All right, then. Do we have a wager?
What sport do you have in mind?
Checkers?
Too boring.
Blackjack?
I'm shocked. Shocked that gambling is going on in this establishment.
Perhaps you'd be interested in a verbal joust. You seem to enjoy the occasional riddle.
Yeah.
But if you lose...
Oh, I don't lose.
Of course. But certainly you would agree that the stakes should be established. In the event of a loss, unlikely as that may be, you would prevent the collision of the asteroid with this planet.
I told you, it is their kismet, karma, whatever. It'll be over in a flash. I mean, really, oh, look, there's just going to be a little gnashing of teeth. And say, you know, they say a change of environment builds character. Are you sure that they're worth saving? I mean, please, don't take this wrong, but half of you think that humans lived at the time of the Brontosaurus and that Uranus is a body part. I mean, come on. You like them so much?
It is not a question of affection. My mother was human. I have lived and worked with humans and have observed them closely. I believe the human race has many laudable characteristics.
So did the dinosaurs. They were around for 140 million years. I didn't stop the asteroid with their name on it.
True, but you enjoy the verbal joust. The dinosaurs were not natural conversationalists.
I'll count that as one of 10 good reasons I should, as you say, assist. Can you come up with 9 more?
Have we begun the play?
Yes.
9 reasons to save humans. You give me short notice, but... Humans drafted the Magna Carta, invented the abacus, composed the Jupiter Symphony, painted Starry Night, danced the dying swan, built Stonehenge, the Imperial City, the pyramids at Giza, discovered radium, spun sugar into cotton candy, fashioned gutta-percha into a ball, encased it in dimpled white, hit it with a long stick 500 yards into a tin cup, and made the practitioners of this feat rich men.
Well, the way you have these facts at your fingertips, the way you say them, Spock, I mean, one might be tempted to think that you care for these humans.
There is, unfortunately, an even longer list of their failings.
Now, too easy. I'll tell you what. Give me 10 more good reasons, and I'll play your game.
I was under the impression that we were already underway.
So, 10 positive reasons. I'll time you.
Very well. 10 inventions. Adobe, the button, the candle, chopsticks, floating soap, the flush toilet, ketchup, the kite, the slinky, Thanksgiving Day. Oh, and yes, not in alphabetical order, Hey Jude.
That was 11.
Nevertheless.
You have an inexhaustible supply. Admit it, you like these guys.
I just stated the briefest list of Earth's cultural, historical, and scientific novelties. Why must you apply an emotion to it? Or do you require another 10 accomplishments?
No. I don't want anyone accusing me of unfair advantage when I win. Hey, what's my prize? Winner take all? Never mind. I'll think of something. Let's toss. Who goes first?
Fair play would suggest that it is now my turn to challenge you.
I know the rules of fair play.
Then perhaps you would consider putting them into practice.
Heads, my turn.
One day you must explain continuum logic, if you can.
Oh, sure. It's so much fun.
A medieval penitent.
Shh. I'm composing.
Oh, I see.
chubby cloud, fiddle fern, strangely attractive, quark in the dark, ship float, butterflies fly. Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow, cries the sky. Oh, that last line was particularly affecting, don't you think? Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow, cries the sky.
To be frank, it has a ring of familiarity about it.
It sprang whole from my brain, as Athena from Zeus's mind.
Also plainly derivative.
The Shakespeare?
Shakespeare would be appalled.
Are you going to interpret the meaning of my poem, or are you going to continue to stall?
Shakespeare was not the only derivative element. Ship's float, for example, is Archimedes' principle for specific gravity. Your ferns and clouds are examples of earthly geometry. Your strange attraction and quarks are part of galactic design. And the butterfly is from Lorenz's idea that that creature's wings affect weather patterns around the globe. This is all sensitive dependence on initial conditions. In two words, chaos theory.
You appreciate poetry. Good. Want a second verse?
Very well. You may go again, as your first riddle was hardly a challenge. It fell under the category of art, and art is in the eye of the beholder.
Quite right. Here, I've got a real puzzler this time. What is like dramatic structure and like a Greek column, but has 1,000 eyes, wears a pointed helmet and a necklace of domestic fowl, and never sits down?
Interesting. Something which never sits is by nature stationary. And if it wears domestic fowl about its neck, it likely cannot smell. And if it has 1,000 eyes and cannot move or smell or necessarily see, it is inanimate. It would not be a Greek column because you wouldn't define it as like a Greek column. Pardon the metaphor and simile in such close proximity. Therefore, composed of base, shaft, and capital, it is of three parts, just as is drama, namely beginning, middle, end. It is obvious. You have described New York City's Deco skyscraper, the Chrysler Building.
I was just joking. It wasn't really a question.
And furthermore, the domestic fowl which adorn the Chrysler Building are called Plymouth.
Yes, rocks. Yes, I know that. I don't have the passion you do for the obvious.
Is it now, finally, my turn?
Do you need more time?
No, not at all. No. It goes thus. Everyone knows me. Once it is rumored a man drank his fill of me, much to his regret. Others prefer me in small doses for small ills. Some describe me as the sky, the land, an age, a tongue. Fire, bird, fish, flower, I am captive, I am free. Worshipped and lost, loved and eschewed, pure and corrupt, black and white. I am found in the deepest well and on the highest mountain. I am animal, vegetable, mineral. Who am I?
Oh, Spock, you amaze me. You have just a little something of poetry. Only it's that kind of sad kind that doesn't quite rhyme, which is also kind of boring. I mean, I like the ones with snap, like, on the road to Alpha Centauri, I stop for a pint at the brewery.
Please. Your answer.
With practice, you could cut down on some of the longer lines, set it to a jazzy tune. Who knows? I mean, you know, you could actually become a Vulcan balladeer, a troubadour. Do you sing?
There has been some debate on that issue. Do you concede the game?
What are you talking about? The answer is crystal clear.
And it is?
It's a bit of a cinch, though, with the sky, the captive, the free thing, worshipped and lost. Pure and impure gives me goosebumps. It's me.
No. It is not.
What do you mean it's not? It most certainly is the line, everyone knows me. I mean, who else could that be but me?
Really? What tongue or bird or fish?
Well, who do you think it is?
I invented the question. And the answer is gold. During the Roman Empire, Crassus is reputed to have poisoned himself drinking liquid gold. People use it to treat arthritis. Gold is captive in mines, running free in streams.
I'm shocked. You said me and who, not what. You're my witness. I mean, didn't he say, who am I? The personal pronoun who for a simple 79 gold on the periodic table? I mean, it was a trick. A trick! You know, coming all this way, getting your autograph, I've been such a fan. Your experience with the Vija machine entity, the transfer of Katra to McCoy that time. I mean, these things touch me to the heart. And now to discover that you cheat.
Are you calling the game on account of rain?
I wouldn't dream of stealing your thunder. You won the last round illegally.
Ah, you are upset at losing. Had I known it would affect you so deeply, I would have asked another question.
I'm not upset! But you have to admit, it was rather devious of you to throw that pronoun curve.
Yes,
well, all right. You can go on. You don't have to forfeit your turn.
How extremely sporting of you.
Speaking of sports, I went to the first Olympics. I'm a big fan of the discus. You see, yes, well, I'll tell you later.
The destiny of this fair shell, the earth and its inhabitants dwell on gossamer thread and lace-wing breath, when it should be connectedness, which binds enemy lover, friend, survival must on this depend.
Oh, a little ditty from Homer?
Simpson?
No, not Homer Simpson, Homer.
I knew who you meant. I'm amazed, though, being the social butterfly you are, you did not know the storyteller personally. If you'd gotten his autograph, it would be worth many drachmas by now, especially at the Federation exchange rate.
Are you actually making a funny, Mr. Gassy?
The poem was a dithyramb. Was a dithyramb of my own composition.
Then you wouldn't mind the suggestion, the line, it's weak.
The is the clue. You ought to fill in the word. The game. You do remember the game.
Well, of course I do.
Well?
Run it by me again.
The destiny of this fair shell, the earth and its inhabitants dwell on gossamer thread and lace-wing breath when it should be connectedness. Which binds enemy lover, friend, survival must on this depend.
Well, I mean, how can I know it? Art is such a personal thing.
If you knew Homer as well as you should, you would know he was Greek, and this word directly from the Greek signifies the living together of two dissimilar organisms in a cooperative relationship.
Symbiosis!
Correct.
Oh, that's awful. You practically told me the answer.
You practically asked for it.
I'll give you one final chance.
But you have already lost.
Keep it in the poetry category.
Will this be the end of our wager, then?
Only if you win, Spock. Take a minute to plan a stumper.
I have one already, thank you. Now, steady friend, welcomed as remainder gleam, Earth's enemy, long dead.
Oh, piece of cake. But may I say, quite lyrical. Haiku, no?
No.
No? Wait a minute, 17 syllables. What are the other requirements for haiku?
Japanese poetry with a clear picture designed to arouse a distinct emotion and suggest a spiritual insight.
You're saying it's not haiku?
No, I am not saying that.
Well, just what are you saying?
It is haiku.
What's the matter with you? You said it's not haiku.
I did not say that.
Stop interrupting. Then you said it is haiku, right? I mean, after you said it wasn't.
Correction. You said it was haiku.
Yes. And you said no.
Yes.
No. You said, look, all right, look, look. What did you say? Just say it again.
No.
Why not?
I said no.
I heard you. It's terrible manners to keep saying no.
I am merely repeating what I said.
Don't.
As you wish. Are you conceding the game?
Well, I haven't even guessed yet.
You said it was haiku. No.
Yes.
There you have it.
What?
The concession.
I haven't even guessed.
You are a poor sport.
Why?
Evidently, it is your nature.
Oh, I give up.
It was a star. Steady friend, remembered gleam.
I knew that.
You guessed haiku.
It wasn't a guess. I was remarking on the form. Haiku. No?
Yes.
But you said no.
Yes.
No!
Thank you for remarking on its lyricism. I have not had much practice with haiku.
How about a bonus round? Be a sport.
We are talking about the fate of the Earth. We do not have time to waste.
We? Spock, you're twice as old as any of them, and I am a temporal billionaire. A century is pocket change to me.
Then you can spare them some of your coin. Tell them what you plan to do about the asteroid.
Oh. You know, when I came in here earlier, you were haranguing these people about hard science, whatever that means, telling them to shape up, drop their mantras, head for their microscopes and computers. Well, ridiculous as that is, given that the asteroid will be here in a blink of an eye, I don't think it's a bad idea for them to keep busy. No, not a bad thought at all, Spock. Pretty sound advice for the doomed.
They need not be doomed. You have extraordinary powers, might I remind you, and you have lost the wager.
Yes, well, but frankly, human stewardship here on Earth has been, in a word, dismal. Their litter is mountainous. Every square inch of the planet is diapers, aluminum cans, and tons of obsolete computers, not to mention rotting nuclear stockpiles.
You are reneging on a promise.
Oh, don't give tweet.
Are you going to do what you promised?
You know what? Why don't we go someplace for dinner? I don't want you to get the wrong impression.
You are not truthful, nor are you honorable. You go through the universe creating havoc, helping no one, playing games when human life hangs in the balance. Now tell me where my impression is incorrect.
Look, Earth, Pluto, the galaxy, it all tends towards entropy. Humans are going that way just a little faster.
Cataclysm is not entropy.
So what if these people go the way of the saber-toothed tiger, the spotted owl, the dodo? Though I admit the dodo was a great loss. Those birds were coming along. In another million years or so, they would have learned to communicate.
You place great store by communication.
Well, a heart-to-heart now and then can be restorative. Did I tell you about the time I swam with a pod of humpbacks and we swapped some mean sonar?
The fact is, you prefer human speech to whale.
Did I say that?
How many times have you been a whale and how many times have you been a human?
What would you know about whales? Never mind. You can be awfully aggravating, Spock.
That is a positive sign.
That's what I mean. I insult you and you interpret that as a good sign.
Rousing your displeasure might prove more effective than sustaining your apathy.
What are you driving at?
If you were to look at it selfishly, it might behoove you to do something about the asteroid. I suspect it is human language you enjoy above all other things, and possibly their imagination.
There are other galaxies, other languages, no lack of imagination.
Human language, human thought. There is no substitute.
Of course there is. Let me think.
The fact is, the continuum is countless eons of evolutionary stagnation. Humans, on the other hand, are finite. They are like your Chrysler building, with clear beginning, middle, and end. You enjoy being among them. You enjoy being one of them, savoring their creativity, their enthusiasm, their joy of life.
Stop.
And I will tell you why. Humans ride river rapids, cross oceans, embark canoes, climb tall peaks, shoot themselves in rockets to barren planets. By your watch, they have a few nanoseconds of life, yet they still take time to wonder, to look around and outside themselves, to create.
They kill the eagles, the beavers, the whales.
They reintroduce them to the wild, with some help.
They make weapons out of anthrax.
They discovered penicillin.
They use leaf blowers.
They wrote the Brandenburg Concerto.
They cut down forests.
They painted the Sistine ceiling.
They're fractious, contradictory, and unpredictable.
And interesting.
Well,
like you.
Oh. Well, they do have that certain je ne sais quoi.
So I again demand that you honor our bargain.
Don't.
It is imperative.
Just don't.
I must.
Oh. All right, it's done.
Done?
What, is there an echo in the room? I gave it a little shove, the asteroid.
May I ask where?
Somewhere. It's too complicated to go into. You know what got to me?
I cannot imagine.
Every time, the Chrysler Building. It's just so deco.
I feel a poem coming on.
Nicer to know the earth spins freely, better to see a new year dawn than to allow a decent planet fall from its orbit, Q. It was wrong. Grateful they are to one superhuman. Smiling they be at you, friend Q. They had imagined it was curtains. They knew without you, they would be through.
Smiling they be?
Poetic license.
Poetry and license? Very unlike you.
Nevertheless, they are smiling. They are, I believe, quite pleased with the outcome of the riddle game. I might add, just for clarification, that the end has been satisfactory for me as well.
Oh, don't get maudlin. I didn't destroy the asteroid.
What did you do?
Pushed it away until 2028.
Fascinating. Why did you not destroy it?
Oh, come on, Spock, you should know.
Tell me.
Oh, well, they have to do something for themselves, don't they?
You have your own way of adhering to the Prime Directive.
Oh, please.
No, it is quite true, quite true. In the new millennium, you must look within yourselves for a map to future Earth, to your dream house, for the next generation, and the next.
Sounds like you're wrapping things up.
That is correct.
No plug for science?
Oh, I believe the goal has been achieved here tonight.
You knew how this would turn out, didn't you? Traveling from the future.
I did not. Only that an omnipotent intervention was required this very evening, and that would be you.
The whole night, one big orchestration, just for me. You fox, you knew all along.
As did you.
Probably. Just can't remember everything at once, these tiny craniums. Hey, you know what? I'm starving.
We must remedy that.
Does this mean we're friends?
Friends? That is a distinctly human interpretation to place on a chance meeting.
Oh, I get it. That's one of those Vulcan compliments, isn't it?
Be well and prosper.
You know, you could have written that instead of to Q from Spock.
Say goodnight, Q.
Good night.
Spock vs. Q, Armageddon Tonight, was written by Cecilia Fannin, with Leonard Nimoy as Spock and John DeLancey as Q. Spock vs. Q is a Simon & Schuster Alien Voices audio presentation. The sound engineer was John Chiminski, the production supervisor, Jeff Howell. The Alien Voices theme music was composed and performed by Peter Erskine. Thanks for listening.
This audio program is presented by Audible.com. Audible, audio that speaks to you wherever you are.